This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I am John Hanson. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen here on the very first day of 2026. Happy New Year to you and yours. College football going on right now as we've got the college football playoff quarterfinals. And we are going to talk a little college football quarterfinals with former LSU star running back and San Diego Charger draftee and SiriusXM host covering, of course, college football. Mr. Jacob Hester will join the program here in about 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on mainly the few games that are still forthcoming, most notably the Indiana Hoosiers and the reigning Heisman Trophy winner Fernando Mendoza taking on Alabama at 4 Eastern. We'll also talk a little Georgia Ole Miss as well, and we'll check in with our guy Tom Brawley, aka the Grinder, see what he has cooking for week 18, his normal spot. We don't have a football game tonight, but we do have the finale this weekend. We'll try and end on a high note, and we'll also, by the way, here at the top of the program, we did yesterday my New Year's resolution for 2026 in terms of prop betting. Today, we're going to do New Year's resolutions for 2026 in terms of fantasy and fantasy drafting. And we'll tackle that here at the top of the program. And then we'll also end the program in the final segment with, I know it's a little late for those in Dynasty, but I did compile a list of basically 12 players who didn't do anything this year for the most part. Maybe one or two guys had a game or two, but these are players to either pick up now if it's not too late, maybe when waivers open, you know, sometime during the like pre or post draft, get these dudes, or even buy low, trade for them on the cheap. These are maybe ascending players, again, who didn't do diddly poo this year, so they're probably available on most waiver wires. Well, news and notes here. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, as always, wherever you're getting your pods, Apple or Spotify. Do have some news and notes coming down here on a Thursday. Obviously, it's an unusual Thursday with last night being New Year's Eve. I don't know about you. I was asleep before the clock struck midnight. That is, I think, two or three years in a row for yours truly. It is what it is. Well, Packer head coach Matt LaFleur said it is what it is with Jordan Love. He has been cleared. However, they are punting on week 18 as Clayton Toon will get the start. I've actually interviewed Clayton Toon. I liked Clayton Toon. Very, very mature dude here, but it's clearly not happening for him. I thought he had a chance to settle in as a really good backup. He's not even that. He's really the three. Obviously, he was on the practice squad. So they're kind of giving up on week 18, which probably means the Minnesota Vikings will make some hay. And we have no announcement yet on the quarterback there. But I'm projecting Mr. J.J. McCarthy to return. We've seen enough of Max Brosmer. We've definitely seen enough of that. Very unfortunate story here in New Orleans. If you got in on a prop early for maybe Tyler Shuck, doesn't bode well. Chris Olave will miss the finale against the Falcons after a blood clot was detected in his lung. We're not messing around with a blood clot in a meaningless game for Chris Olave. Shame he had to end the season on a sour note, but what a great year by Olave. I didn't necessarily see it coming. I think I priced him right around his ADP. I wasn't high on him. I wasn't down on him. Very talented player. We knew he was going to have a good role. I thought the offense had a chance under Kellen Moore, but you know, availability has been a problem for Olave. But he did get it done this year up until the end here, and this is not even really a football-related injury, I would think. So, yeah. Future looks pretty bright for Chris Olave. He's under contract next year, probably going to be catching balls from Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore, baby. You know, we're talking lessons learned. We're going to go right back to that offensive coordinator, play caller lesson that we discussed yesterday when it comes to props, because we need the right people, you know, pulling the strings behind the scenes, calling the plays, things like that. Seahawks wide receiver Rashid Shaheed. Now he's in the protocol. It's kind of a short week because they're playing Saturday. So I don't know if he's going to be clear, but he is out there practicing, I'm sure, in very limited fashion. And in that game, the big injury, of course, is George Kittle. He said he's feeling, quote, fabulous and absolutely expects to play week 18. I mean, you bring out the F word, fabulous. I mean, come on. If we do a George Kittle prop over and he doesn't hit, we do have a built-in excuse. I mean, he said he was feeling fabulous. That's an unusual word for a dude, you know, describing his health. But we'll take it as a positive, of course. So we'll see if he performs fabulously, but he feels fabulous. And he absolutely expects to play this week in a huge game, obviously. Raider head coach Pete Carroll also did confirm yesterday that Geno Smith will not play this week. So it's Kenny Pickett. That does not bode well for anyone involved. Not that we care, let's be honest here. Maybe for Jack Besh. Spoiler alert, we are going to talk about Jack Besh at the end of the program. But it's time now that we're caught up on all the news and the notes here. We do have the football game going on right now, approaching halftime. Oregon is up in a snooze fest, per my producer, Michael Cohen, 3-0. Lessons learned in 2025, New Year's resolutions for 2026 when it comes to fantasy. I'm mostly talking about drafting. Well, and let's start with number 5. We'll start at the bottom and we'll count up. Pretty obvious call here. I will not draft a quarterback early. Let's take a look at the ADPs from this past summer and let's take a look at the quarterbacks going off the board. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow. That was your top 5. Allen did have another unbelievable year. He is Superman. Lamar got hurt again. These running quarterbacks is the problem. This is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I would not advocate drafting a quarterback early. It has worked in the past. I mean, it worked last year with Allen and Lamar Jackson. I'm talking 2024. Didn't work in 2025. For the most part, these dudes, 3 of the 5 top quarterbacks are running quarterbacks. And when you run a lot, there's 2 things that happen. Number 1, your body takes a bunch of hits, and I do believe the residual effects of those hits leads to future injuries. I've had this conversation with the great Richie Gannon, our former colleague here on VEASAN, and I stole the idea from him, basically. I mean, it's his idea, and I'm like, I would defer to Rich on that one. So I think that's why Lamar's breaking down. It didn't work out for Jaden Daniels. So, you know, you look at the leaders. Let's take a look at the leaders real quick. Let's just look at points per game. Brock Purdy, number 2. Drake May, number 3. These were late picks. Purdy, you got in the 9th round. May, you got in the 10th round. Mahomes, it wasn't even that great. But he was QB4. Stafford, you got him. Granted, we didn't know about his health, but you got him really late. Trevor Lawrence, who was a stud down the stretch. He was actually on my target list, if you can believe that. Free pick. I ranked him at like 150, and it was 25 spots over his ADP. Dak Prescott. So as you can see, Jalen Hurts only finishing at QB8. No reason, none, to use an early pick on a quarterback. So you basically go into your draft next year when all the stud young, well, not stud, but really good young non-quarterbacks are off the board. That's when you look at the quarterbacks. Lesson number 4, I will not draft a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver unless he's Canton-bound. This has been my lesson for a long, long time. And the big takeaway here, the big mistake I made, and, you know, most of the time, you know, I follow this lesson, was Calvin Ridley. And that was a unique circumstance because he kind of took a year or two off. So I thought he was a young 30-year-old. Didn't work out. So you look at other dudes here, Tyreek Hill, he was off the board for me. Even Terry McLaurin, believe it or not, he turned 30 this year. One guy who was okay was Cortland Sutton. Next up, Next lesson, I will pass on rookie running backs on bad teams. And pretty obvious tip, you know, don't draft running backs on bad teams. But sometimes we do get enamored with the volume. And I think we all did a little bit with Ashton Jeanty. Now, when you look at the league leaders, Ashton Jeanty was actually pretty good. Among all non-quarterbacks, he was 20th with 233.7 fantasy points per game. Or no, on the season, 14.6 points per game. That's not too shabby. However, on a week-to-week basis, it was pretty much a disaster. So even if you're going to get big-time volume, I would pass on a rookie running back. I'm almost to the point where I'm passing on all rookie running backs. Let them go in the draft, and then around week six, when their managers are frustrated, then you trade for them. That's the good pick, the good tip right there. And then second one, I will not assume a productive rookie will improve in season two. Now, this is unique. This is really a Brian Thomas Jr. lesson, because he did better than I thought he would in year one. So I just kind of assumed, okay, Liam Cohen, I feel good about that. I think that can offset the fact that BTJ did very well with Mac Jones. But no, let's just not assume that a guy, especially if he kind of surprises us, is going to improve in year number two. And then number one, I will remember the play caller and the OC. Shane Steichen revitalized Daniel Jones. Liam Cohen saved Trevor Lawrence. Cam Ward was hopeless with a bad OC. Ben Johnson saved the Bears. Kellen Moore made Tyler Shuck a thing. And meanwhile, Cliff Kingsbury fell off a cliff as usual. Philly missed Kellen Moore. Baker missed Cohen. It is all about the OC and the play call. It's all about college football next with former LSU star Jacob Hester. We'll break down today's action next on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
PropitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seeding, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of PropitX's 20% purchase match. Download PropitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSiN to get started. And welcome back to a Thursday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. As promised, we're going to go to the progressive guest line to bring in former LSU star running back, third round pick of the San Diego Chargers, Jacob Hester, also the host of Off Campus on Sirius XM College Radio on the X Machine at Jacob Hester 18. What's up, man? We were just chopping it up there during the break about our mutual friend, LaDainian Tomlinson. How are you, sir? Thanks for joining the program.
I am doing well. Yeah, LT, pretty good vet to get drafted into that room. I had him and Darren Sproles, so I had two legends right there with me to take care of me. So they really set up my career for success, and not only on the field, but off the field. So it's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be talking to you.
Yeah, well, while we're talking Chargers real quick, I mean, you played with a couple of Hall of Famers, three, basically, right? I got to get your thoughts on how blown away were you by your former teammate Phillip Rivers out there in the National Football League? We got to start there, man.
I mean, how incredible was that? I mean, to be on the couch for 5 years, to come in and not only like do some things well, but there's a couple of moments. I mean, he kind of like took over the stage in the NFL. You go back to that Monday Night Football game, and I'm not surprised that he had success. I mean, you hear him on the line of scrimmage, making all the calls, making all the adjustments there. But I can tell you, coming off the couch like that, because if you miss like 6 months, typically, like, you try to get back into like football shape and it's like, oh no, you're going to take 6 more months to try to get there. So it's incredible. He's coaching in the semifinals of the playoffs in Alabama high school football. And then a couple of weeks later, he's throwing touchdowns in the NFL. So he was already a Hall of Famer for me. I'm biased, but now I think he is a for sure Hall of Famer after what he just did the last 3 weeks.
Well, let's get into some of the college football stuff. Number 10, Miami upsetting Ohio State last night, 24-14. They will play the winner of Ole Miss, Georgia. So my question is, has Miami shown you enough to make you believe they can advance to the championship? And likely it'll be Georgia. That would be a Carson Beck, who played well last night. That would be a Carson Beck revenge game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by how Miami played last night. When you look at the matchup, I mean, they bullied a bully. Ohio State's a bully. That's how they win a lot of games, because teams are like, man, we can't be as physical as they are. And Miami flipped the script on them. And then they kind of punched them in the mouth. And then Ohio State really didn't know what to do. And so when that line came out, I was shocked how high it was, because I thought the game was going to go exactly how it went. Low scoring. Both defenses are going to make a ton of plays. Who can run the football better? And it was certainly Miami that was able to get that done at a much higher clip. And so I was surprised at the line when it came out. I'm not surprised at all how the game played out, because if you punch a bully like Ohio State, and credit to them, they've got that moniker because they've earned it, but they didn't know what to do. They didn't have an adjustment to make off Miami. So Miami just went into one of the toughest places to play in the country in Kyle Field and beat A&M, and they brought the fight to them. They just brought the fight to Ohio State. That travels. So no matter who the opponent, no matter where they're playing, Miami absolutely can go win a national championship.
Jacob Hester, former LSU star running back and San Diego Charger, the third round pick in the 2008 draft. Any thoughts on the Oregon game? They're winning 3-0 right now up against Texas Tech. A little bit of a snooze fest here. Are we going to get some points in the second half?
Yeah, so, I mean, the defenses have really shown up so far in the college football playoff. It's kind of been the storyline, but those defenses, again, because, look, in this college football playoff quarterfinals, you got 8 teams left, and you had 4 of the top-scoring defenses in America still playing. So it's not a surprise that you're getting this kind of defensive effort, and Texas Tech plays a different style. They're a 3-3-5 defense. It's an odd front. A lot of teams play an even front with 4 down linemen. And so you can tell Oregon's trying to figure that out right now, and they haven't been able to make any hay, any success, even with an interception, right? You look like you're about to go set up and get some points. That Texas Tech defense is right there, stops when they had to punt the football. So I expect that game to be, well, I mean, 17-14 type game, just because these defenses, they're not just good, they're great and even elite when you're talking about 4 of the top 5 scoring defenses still left in the playoff.
Coming up in a few hours, 4 p.m. Eastern, number 9, Alabama at number 1, Indiana, undefeated Big Ten champion, 3 wins away from maybe having the greatest story in college football history, the greatest ascension, if you will. Now, Fernando Mendoza up against an Alabama defense that seems to be a lot weaker against the run. So that's my question. Might this be a run-centric game for Indiana?
Absolutely. You've got this one pegged correctly, because you want to control the clock in this game. I think if you're Indiana, and Hemby and Black, they're going to be a two-headed monster running back, and they've had a lot of success. You look back at the Big Ten championship game, I thought they utilized those backs. Both had over double-digit carries, and they're going to lean on Alabama. They want to control that clock, and Mendoza's not trying to do too much. He's got playmakers, but he's just trying to control the clock, and when the play presents itself, that's when he strikes, and that's the reason he won the Heisman Trophy. And then on the other side of it, Alabama has to be careful, because they can become one-dimensional, because both their running backs, Miller and Hill, their two leading rushers, both average less than 4 yards a carry. They can't run the football. Right now, they are set up to have the worst rushing team they've had in 70 years in Tuscaloosa. That's how bad it's been, and you do not want to be one-dimensional against that Indiana defense. And so it's going to fall on Ty Simpson. You hate to put too much on one player. He's going to have to make some Superman-type plays. And then Jeremy Bernard, who is a receiver, you might see him line up in the backfield in some wildcat situations. We've seen that, because you can't run the football right now if you're Alabama, which sounds wild with all the backs they've had that have been first-round NFL guys. they got to be creative because the running backs right now for Bama not getting it done, and they are getting it done for Indiana.
You also have Ty Simpson getting sacked a lot. I believe he got sacked four times. And I happen to notice that Stephen Daly, one of their defensive ends, 5.5 sacks, he got injured celebrating. That's always a bad look. I could not believe that. But will that be a factor in that game, the fact that he's out?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly will be something because he was one of their top guys. And, you hate to see that, right? Yeah. You hate to see somebody go down like that. But they've got other guys. Certainly, they got some other guys that are going to be able to get after the quarterback. Now, he was one of the best. But like you mentioned, Alabama's really struggled against fronts that aren't as good as Indiana's. And so I still think they have success. Again, you hate to throw it on one player. Ty Simpson has to kind of maybe even change his game. They got to make sure he gets the ball out quick because – Indiana is going to sell out to get after him, knowing that Alabama just can't run the football. So they can kind of pin their ears back until Alabama shows that they can have success on the ground.
Follow Jacob Hester on the X machine, by the way, at Jacob Hester 18, host of Off Campus on Sirius XM College Radio. Tonight at 8 p.m., number 6, Ole Miss, at number 3, Georgia. I'll go right to a Georgia stat like this defense. 8th in rushing success rate, only 2.9 yards per rush allowed. That seems really problematic for Ole Miss's offense, especially with the running back banged up.
Yeah, and I love Georgia in this matchup. I'm actually about to head down to that game and cover that one tonight. Looking forward to being in the Superdome for that one. And a couple reasons why I love Georgia. I think as far as them running the football, I think Nate Frazier is turning into a real star here late in the season. You mentioned Ole Miss on the other side. Their running back, Lacy, a little banged up, not really sure what he can do. Now, Ole Miss wants to run the football. That's who they are. Don't let the tempo fool you. But also, Georgia's had some time to prepare for that one. No disrespect to the Tulane Green Wave, but Georgia knew who they were playing. They had seen that movie before play out, Ole Miss and Tulane. So they've been preparing for Ole Miss for multiple weeks now. And I caught up with Kirby Smart a couple of days ago, and he said multiple times, at least 3 times in 2 minutes, how disappointed he was in his defensive effort in that contest. And you know, when Kirby's mad, that's when Georgia plays their best. I just do not see Ole Miss having a ton of success on offense against this Georgia team. And I know what the first game looked like, and I know the total's 55.5, but I love Georgia, and I love it to be the under as well.
Real quick, Gunnar Stockton, if he does declare for the draft, I mean, do you think he's a viable QB1 first-round pick? Any thoughts there?
I still think Gunnar needs some seasoning. I think he had a remarkable year. I think last year he was put into a tough situation in this same Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame and actually made some plays. One of the few Georgia guys that did, but I think he still needs to come back. He needs to have another year, multiple year starters. What's the old Bill Parcells, right? He's like, you got to have at least 2 full years as a starter if I'm going to draft you. I think that is a Gunnar Stockton recipe for success. So he'll have his day in the NFL, but I think it's going to be in a couple years.
Jacob, really appreciate it. Jacob Hester, former LSU star, San Diego Charger draftee, host of Off Campus on Sirius XM College Radio on the X Machine at Jacob Hester 18. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you down the line. We'll talk to the grinder, Tom Raleigh, next here on Pop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get a VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide. And start the new year off with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. First day of the year. We do have an update on the Oregon Texas Tech game. The Ducks are up 6-0. It is a bonanza in that game. Always a bonanza when Tom Brawley is involved. Senior writer over at Fantasy Points. He's on the X Machine at Tom Brawley, and he is the recent winner of the Fantasy Points Dynasty League. So, Tom, I'm sure you're in a good mood. Your wallet just got a little fatter. Happy New Year.
Yeah, I need some new tires for the Subaru, so I'm gonna get some new Yokohamas with the winnings from the Fantasy Points Dynasty League. So two times in 3 years, I can't complain about that. Good. Derrick Henry carried my team the last couple of years, so we needed that over the last couple of weeks. But doing well in a college football bowl pool too here. I need Texas Tech +1.5. I'm actually in first place and a bowl poll with 60 people in it. So I'm not a college football expert, but I have Texas Tech +1.5. I got Indiana -6.5 and Georgia -6.5 for the college football bowl poll. So if you want to tail those, good luck out there. Yeah. I've been doing pretty well, but we'll see if it continues on New Year's Day here.
This is what I've been saying since I first met you and hired you 13 years ago. If there is a leaderboard and you're involved, you'll be near the top. I mean, almost every single damn time. Well, let's get into what you're seeing out there this week. And a little gutsy, but George Kittle did say, and I quote, he's feeling fabulous. That's a strong word for a football player. I mean, he must be, I don't know, did he sleep in a hyperbaric chamber? But you are in on 61.5. Obviously there's some risk here, but if George can play at 80% for four quarters, he should absolutely crush it. What do you see there with Kittle?
Yeah, it seemed like he was kind of ready to play last week, but they ultimately ended up holding him out. It seemed like a pretty mild low ankle injury, not the high ankle variety where we get a little bit scared. But so it seems like he was kind of ready to play last week. They held him out. Big important game here this week. If they win, obviously they get the top seed in the NFC. He can have all the time he needs to rest up and get ready for the postseason. Right. So I think he's going to be fully refreshed here. Well, you know, might be a little bit fresher than some of these guys that have been playing through the last 18 weeks of the season. So sometimes a week off like that maybe can help him be a little bit fresher for this. So hopefully he's feeling fabulous. So feeling pretty good about that. But he's actually gotten to 67 yards in six straight games whenever he's been healthy and out in the field. So feeling pretty good about that. They played all the way back in week one. I drafted a lot of George Kittle and a lot of Brock Purdy. I was getting very excited after the first quarter of week one. He had four catches and 25 yards and a touchdown. He was going to light up Seattle. He ends up pulling his hamstring, and he ended up missing a long time, five or six games there. But he is back to full strength now and playing well. This is kind of a tough defense to throw the ball on against Seattle. Can't really throw on the perimeter much. So you got to look towards, it's been a little bit of a tight end funnel all season. We kind of look at tight ends going against Seattle. So I think, and just looking at the schematics of everything, a lot of zone coverage from Seattle. He's been crushing zone coverage this season, averaging 2.57 yards per route run and a 25% target share against zone coverage. So everything's kind of pointing towards a big performance here from George Kittle. We saw last week, Brock Purdy, he loves throwing to tight ends. Jake Tonjes, he had a couple nice games early in the season, but they came with Mac Jones. So I was just a little bit skeptical about Jake Tonjes last week, and he played really well with Brock Purdy. So Purdy is locked in. He's dialed, really feeling good, throwing over the middle of the field right now. And I think that is going to be good things for George Kittle. So as long as that ankle continues to feel fabulous here, I think he's going to have a big game on Saturday.
You know, I'm very tempted to go in on under on Juwan Jennings because he'll see, based on the alignment numbers, a lot of Reek Woolen, who's been an absolute eraser out there. But our data shows it as a good schematic matchup for Juwan Jennings. So I'm not going to touch it, but most likely Juwan Jennings is not going off, to your point. It'll have to be funneled inside to Georgie. You also like another tight end. We're kind of starting our look at week 18 at the standalone games, which are essentially the start of the playoffs, and your Steelers up against the Ravens, and you like Patty Freiermuth over 29.5. What do you see with Patty?
Yeah, this one is more of a gut feeling on this one. I will say that the overall season long numbers aren't going to tell you to bet on Pat Freiermuth this week. And even Baltimore has been pretty good against tight ends so far this season, but watching that game last week, they are struggling at the receiver position right now. DK Metcalf out of the lineup here, not going to play on Sunday. I mean, they're wasting targets on Marquez Valdes-Scantling at the goal line last week. No surprise that those were unsuccessful. So the one part of the passing game that did work was Pat Freiermuth. And I think Arthur Smith needs to take a hard look at the offense this week in the passing game, and they have to scheme up some touches and some targets for Pat Freiermuth this week. He is the one guy on this offense that actually scares an opposing secondary right now. So I think he's going to be much more involved. And we saw Darnell Washington. He broke his arm last week. He is on the IR. His season is done. So that's just going to be more snaps, more routes for Pat Freiermuth. He should be a full-time receiver in this offense. So we have him projected for about 44 receiving yards in this game. I was able to get it at 29.5. It has been bet up a little bit to 31.5, but I do think Pittsburgh's passing game will look a little bit better this week. We've seen it, you know, it basically every year. But once it turns to like November up in Cleveland, everybody's offense looks a little bit worse playing in those windy conditions up there, cold. You get a lot of, you know, weather up there. So Pittsburgh's offense looked terrible last week. So I think it's going to be a better offense. And I do think we're going to see Pat Freiermuth kind of be the number one target for Pittsburgh this week. So 29.5, much higher number than we're used to seeing for Pat Freiermuth, but for good reason. He's got to be the guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
You know, before they acquired Johnny Smith, Pat Freiermuth was essentially my sleeper tight end of the year. I thought him and Rodgers would be like thick as thieves. Well, they were
like locker room mates. He got a big contract extension. It seemed like it was lining up for that, but they had to go out and trade for Johnny Smith, and Darnell Washington. I mean, he has played really well this season. He's essentially an extra offensive lineman on the field. So, I mean, he did lose some snaps to him, but that's going to be cleared up this week, and they really need Freiermuth.
Real quick, I remember about 3 weeks ago, Chris Godwin was coming back. You came on here. You went in on a prop. I was kicking the tires against the Carolina Panthers like 3 weeks ago. He caught 5 balls for 30, so he didn't hit the prop, but he caught 5 balls. He's been rounding in form over 100 yards last week. So I'm in officially 35.5 over on Godwin. Any thoughts on that play?
Yeah, I think I probably will be joining you here. I'm kind of waiting to see just what the final injury report might look like for this Carolina and Tampa Bay game. But I am a little bit hurt by Kim catching 5 passes and getting to 30 yards. The prop was at like 32.5 yards, averaged 6 yards a reception. That can happen with Godwin. He is a low ADOT type of player, but he has looked pretty good, I think, over the last month. And we saw a little bit of that breakout last week. So I'm probably going to be jumping back in on this. It's the much easier matchup for these receivers. The perimeter is much tougher to throw to, so I do like Godwin as a player in this in that passing game to have a little success.
1 week from today, the Grinder will join us to talk playoffs, propage for the playoffs. Looking forward to it. Happy New Year, Tom. And on the other side, Dynasty pickups.
watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The final segment on a Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I am John Hansen. We are still at 6-0 as Oregon is leading Texas Tech here at the half. I'm very much looking forward to watching Alabama at Indiana at 4 p.m. as future Raiders quarterback Fernando Mendoza gets under center. Then we've got Ole Miss at number 3, Georgia. I am actually in Georgia. I'm still blown away as a Northeastern person. College football, not that huge up there, let's be honest. I'm still blown away that if I poll 10 people where I live here in Southern Georgia, what they care more about, the Bulldogs or the Falcons, it'll probably be 8 of 10 vote Bulldogs, maybe even 10 of 10. It truly is unbelievable. But, you know, that's the ironic thing for me is being a New York, New Jersey person. I've actually always been a closet Georgia fan because I like the players they push out to the NFL. How about Matt Stafford? I mean, come on. Guys like going to be in the conversation to be the GOAT, quite frankly. And this all started for me way back with like Herschel Walker. Also love me some Garrison Hurst. I was a big AJ Green guy, but neither here nor there. We're just talking prospects, and that's what we're doing in this segment. It might be a little late if you're in a dynasty league now. Maybe not, though. The season has not ended yet. Waiver wire could still be open. So I think we did this last year, and we're going to dig deep. These are players who really did almost nothing this year, but I think the future is bright. They're ascending. So if I could acquire them, I would. If I could trade for them even on the cheap before the values rise, maybe get them in a throw-in deal. A lot of people like to do off-season trading. Well, I'm going to start with the guy who is not starting on Sunday, but one of the most improved quarterbacks I've seen in a while. It's Malik, what you talking about, Willis. Malik Willis for the Green Bay Packers, free agent at the end of the year. He's going somewhere. I could see him going to Pittsburgh, quite frankly, because as I mentioned before, I watched Malik Willis practice for a week in Mobile, talked to a lot of people, you know, in the bleachers there at the Senior Bowl. I actually even asked Dan Campbell about Malik Willis because they covered that squad. The Lions coaching staff coached him. And I'm like, maybe they'll move on from Jared Goff. No, maybe they should have. But anywho, Malik Willis, I believe, is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL next year. And he is really improved. To me, he's a less entitled Jalen Hurts right now. I mean, he looks like Jalen Hurts. He throws a very good deep ball, very good ball location, power arm. He might have a better arm than Hurts. It's close. And he runs extremely well, like Hurts. So I think he could end up being better than Hurts. At the end of the day, I know that's kind of a bold statement. I don't know if he's going to win like Hurts. Hurts is a special cat when it comes to that. But Malik Willis has looked really good. Next up, speaking of the Senior Bowl, we over at FantasyPoints.com, we brought a whole camera crew down there last year. Me, Brett Whitefield, the grinder, Tom Brawley was there. We had a chance to interview both of the Iowa State dudes, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Awesome guys. And they're damn good players. Now, everyone knows about Jaden Higgins, but I have been all in on Jalen Noel. Now, he scored last week as well, right? I mean, this kid is awesome. So I think he's going to be a star in this league. So I would want to get Jalen Noel before his value soars, quite frankly. Jack Besh, another Senior Bowl guy that we did interview on the field. Maybe this is why I'm talking about these players, because I'm a little bit more familiar with them, but I like Jack Besh a lot. He's big dude. I stood right next to him. Brett Whitefield interviewed him. I'm 6'2". He's got to be 6'4", maybe 6'3". But he's got inside-outside versatility. Like him. I think he's a future starter. He should be a starter. Probably should have started him a month ago. Next up, I love this Gunnar Helm. He is going to be, he's not a super athlete by any stretch, but he's damn good football player. And Chigakonkwo is a free agent at the end of the year. So I think Gunnar Helm is going to be a volume target for Cam Ward, who's pretty good, by the way, next year. What we need now is an actual real offense and a good coordinator and all that. Next up, another Senior Bowl guy. When I went to the Senior Bowl a couple years ago, the best two running backs in the passing drills, which is really the only thing you can get out of the Senior Bowl, quite frankly, from the running back's perspective, were Ray Davis, awesome guy, and Marshawn Lloyd. So I'm going to pick up Marshawn Lloyd for the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, it's been a lost couple of years for him, but it's not over yet. The contract for Jacobs, they can get out of it if they really wanted to. And, you know, he did kind of get a little banged up here late in the year. Like, they'll probably keep him around for another year. But Marshawn Lloyd has got a future in this backfield, I do believe. Next up, Ryan Flournoy. I picked him up myself in the Fantasy Points Dynasty League way back in September. But nobody else really picked him up in most Dynasty Leagues unless you're really, really digging deep. The reason he's on the list, not only did he play pretty damn well and had a couple of big games. I think he had what, two 100-yard games. George Pickens is a free agent at the end of the season, and it's no guarantee that George is back. If George departs, gets a bigger offer elsewhere, decides to jump ship, I think Ryan Flournoy is your starter opposite CD Lamb. That's a good position to be in. Another Senior Bowl guy here in Roman Wilson, JJ McCarthy's guy there at Michigan. He had 11 tutties that year. Hasn't been going all that well, but I still think he's a good prospect. He's got a lot of juice. He can make acrobatic catches. He made an acrobatic catch right in front of me, actually, at the Senior Bowl. So I'm very impressed by him. I had a chance to meet him at the Combine, and good dude. Really liked him. Isaiah Davis, the reason he's on this list, I know they have Braylon Allen, but he's coming off a serious injury. Isaiah Davis just produces. And Breece Hall is a free agent, and he's probably gone. So if the Jets decide to, you know, cheap out a little bit at running back this year, which is they should because they're not going anywhere anyway, Isaiah Davis could be a volume back here. And another Isaiah, this one is Bond, Isaiah Bond. I think when you look at the receiving core here, Harold Fannin is a fixture going forward. Jerry Judy's a year-to-year guy, as is Cedric Tillman. They've got a couple of other guys, Jamari Thrash. But Bond showed well, and I think he's a downfield threat from the slot, which is kind of unique, like him a lot. And then a little bit of a long shot here, but Rico Dowdle is not under contract. Chuba Hubbard is, but I do believe they can get out of that. How about Jonathan Brooks, who is 2 years removed now? Obviously, that knee, the Texas running back had the ACL, and then things didn't go all that well, but he's still around. So if you are in a league where there's nothing on the waiver wire, he might be available. I would pick him up and see what you see. Well, I know what you're going to be seeing here on VSiN right when we sign off at the top of the hour. It's Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. On today's show, Jeff Erickson stops by with his favorite player props for the final weekend of the regular season, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around VSiN Prime Time. Tim Murray and Matt Humans. Last item of business is a best bet. And I do have another best bet that I'll pop out right now. And it's a bigger number, but I'm going to go for it with Jackson Smith in Jigba. One of my best calls of the year, by the way. I was very high on JSN, ranked him at like 20. I think his ADP was like 30. So I had him inside the second round. And he was a third rounder. So people who read my cheat sheet and my articles, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you an edge, and definitely gave people an edge with Jackson Smith and Jigba. People were worried about the fact that it was going to be a low volume passing game. I thought, yeah, sure, it will be. They're going to run the ball, play good defense. But JSN is a major go-to guy. What did it for me, though, was Sammy Darnold. I knew that Sam Darnold was in the same offense, basically, that he excelled in Minnesota. A lot of play action, and that's great for him. But I also knew that he was totally enamored with JSN. This is why I read quotes in May and June, and I look at press conferences. I could tell that Darnold was like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. So he peppered him with targets, as I expected. I'm going to go over 96.5 receiving yards, minus 114 on FanDuel. Darnold didn't have a big game in the first matchup. However, they do not rush the passer, and that's
massive for Sam Darnold. They run cover three and cover four 60% of the time. He's got a massive 10 YPA against those coverages. San Fran gives up the ninth most passing yards per game. And they run that cover three and cover four 60% of the time. JSN averages a gargantuan 4.46 yards per route run and 0.38 targets per route run against the coverages. Luther Burden ripped them last week. JSN got 9 for $1.24 in the matchup in early September. JSN holds a 70-yard lead over Puka for the receiving title. He's going to get it in this one. Good luck with the play. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points.